This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to this Twin Peaks Investing podcast. This is podcast number 115. And as you can see, there's only two of us on the screen. If you're on YouTube, come on to YouTube now. It's just myself and Henry Viola Hare at HD Viola on Twitter, X. And it's me, Peter Higgins at Congress 3 on Twitter. Alex is on holiday, taking some time out, having a bit of time out away from the markets. And I don't blame him, given what's been going on recently with all the different companies merging, reviewing, strategically doing this and strategically doing that and buying back the shares and allowing themselves to be taken over by overseas predators. So I don't blame him chilling out and getting away from it. What are you thinking, Henry?
Think he's done the right thing? I totally agree. Yeah, it has been an absolutely bonkers month this month. I've spent most of October feeling like my portfolio is going to zero and most of November thinking I'm a millionaire. Woohoo! So, yeah, a bit of a roller coaster of a ride, to be honest, on the markets at the minute.
It has been a bit of a roller coaster, folks. And here we are. It is November the 29th. I think we've got one more trading day or two more? I've lost track of anyway, it's Wednesday. We've got, I think Friday's the first, isn't it? Is that right?
It is. Friday's the first. We've only got one day of the month left.
We've got one more month left. So we're going to have another, I think the next podcast, we'll report the November winner for the Twin Peaks Investing podcast challenge. So I've seen a few stocks moving quite rapidly. So some of them could do quite well for the people that hold the likes of ENET, ticker symbol ENT, the internet company. Inetity company, I can't even pronounce it now, but I'm so tired. That's the sort of day I've had. I can't pronounce anything. Ticker symbols ENET. Anyway, we'll come back to that later on. So I'm going to quickly go through the bits regarding where the markets have gone, Henry. Yeah. I mentioned before, it's just trapped there. We needed the autumn statement to say something which was going to encourage people to buy UK listed entities and stocks and so on and so forth, funds, etc. Alistair Hunt came back with very little, I thought, regarding helping investors. I looked at everything and I thought, meh. Markets went meh. And since then, the market's just come back to where it was, if not lower, than when he spoke. So FTSE 100 today closed at 7,423, down 31 points, 0.43%. FTSE All Share is sitting at 4,047, so still remaining above the 4,000 support level that I keep hoping and praying doesn't give up. And FTSE AIM All Share is sitting at 715. It's had a reasonably good run of late and was higher than that during the 2 weeks where we've been away. And today it was up 0.42% at 715.5. So that's still holding up reasonably well. Lots of activities in the AIM market there. So we'll see what happened. We had to record the last podcast early. So I'm just going to, some of you already know about all of this, but I'm just going to regale some of the things that happened. On the 16th of November, there was an asteroid from Mars and it landed in the coffers at Hotel Chocolat. 170% premium takeover. And everyone was just going, what? Have I read that right? Is the numbers on there right? Or whatever. It was correct. So recommended cash offer valuing the entirety of Hotel Chocolat at approximately £534 million. Previous day, the shares were at £1.39 per share. The takeover offer was at £3.75, folks. So congratulations to all of you that had that share. Hopefully some of you bought it when it was nearer to £1.39, £1.50, than those that were buying it at £3.75 and £4 only two and a bit years ago. So well done to you guys and ladies that got that one. And I think the other one that we missed just that week was City Pubs, CPC. You remember that? Remember
yeah,
that one?
Yeah.
And that one received a bid from Young & Co. Brewery, which has got a market cap of 370 million. And they made a recommended offer of £160 million cash and shares bid at 108 per cash per share and 0.3 blah, 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 new young shares. So equivalent of £1.45 per share for a 46% premium. So that's what we missed that week. Also, there was confirmation that DX would receive a takeover from HIG Capital's funds for 48 pence per share. So there's lots going on, mate. Lots going on. That was only that last week. And, you know, that week, that we recorded the last podcast. So much more going on. What have you been keeping your eye on in the markets, Henry, about shenanigans and bits and pieces that's just got you like, got to talk about that before we get onto stocks and shares?
Well, my big one, to be honest with you, is takeovers, but more, to be more precise, take-unders. So I've got a couple of positions.
Listen, you can't say take-under without saying that name was patented by
Mr. Higgins himself.
I've been using that for about five, 6 years, and now everyone's using it, claiming it to be their word. It is mine, my word that I've been using for a while. So everyone who said, I'm just reference Conkers each time they mention the word take-under.
We'll copyright it for a penny. A penny a mention.
Yeah, I want the royalties, mate.
I'm sure we could list that on the stock exchange. The take-under investment vehicle.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, you make an interesting point with Hotel Chocolat. At one point, it was trading at £3.75, £4 a share. It's taken over at 170% premium at £3.50. Now, if you'd bought it at the 52-week high, or the all-time high as it might have been, you've lost money on that. As far as I'm aware, it didn't pay much of a dividend, so you're unlikely to have made the money on dividends. And I've got similar positions that are doing similar things, to be honest with you. Aberdeen European Logistics Income Fund, I'm 50% down on that. Pretty eye-watering. It's been a dog of a share for me. They're now talking about a strategic review to consider their options, one of which is selling the entire share capital of the fund to a competitor, probably locking in a loss for me. If I'm lucky, it'll be a small loss, but I doubt it'll be sold for over NAV. And of course, the big elephant in the room, Digital 9 Infrastructure Trust, DGI9, which has had an absolutely hideous couple of months. They've suspended the dividend. They've announced a need to raise cash. They've announced a going concern issue. The shares are just dropping like a rock. I mean, I think they're down another 20% this week. Now, I've written about this on X a reasonable amount. I personally feel that the assets in the fund are valued. They're probably worth more than the market's valuing them at. At peak, they were worth, £900 million. Then they were valued at about £500 million, a significant discount. The market's sort of indicating at the moment that they're only worth £300 million. So this is 60% lower than the latest NAV. And the way the price is going, maybe they're going to get down to sort of £50 million. I mean, how cheap is this? My thinking is that these assets have got value to someone. We just need to find the right buyer for them. And it doesn't feel to me that the right buyer is a public entity. You know, the management firm in charge, Triple Point, seem to be making a right dog's dinner of it, the investment managers. With them on the case, I can't see the value being unlocked at all. And I think this needs to be sold as a bundle of assets or sold off in parts to people that know how to manage it properly. But again, when that happens, I doubt I will see anything close to 900 million back for the entire entity. And I might be lucky to get 60, 70 pence in the pound. So my big concern is this sort of persistent trend of take-unders.
Yeah, I mean, I hold it as well, Henry. I've been spanked on that one as well. And this is the beauty of investing, unfortunately. You know, we have to take the bad ones and mistakes, our losers, in the same sort of vein as we do the occasional winners that we get. We do all the research that we possibly can, and then it's down to the management firms, the CEO, fund CEO leaders, board, CFOs, and fund managers or fund management companies to execute. And on this occasion, Triple Point have failed miserably. They got themselves laden with debt at the wrong time. Then they got involved in inflation swaps at the wrong time. And they're sitting here now saying, oh, we've sold this company. We had a book value here. We sold it just below that. And we've got an earnout. And I'm going, you've got a what? You may not be around long enough to get that earnout. And what does that mean for the shareholders that are left waiting? Are they going to be waiting in a private sort of entity, in an unlisted entity, to try and get paid? Are you with me? So there's all that going on. And I think the other bit that I was looking at was the, I can never pronounce this right, so bear with me, Arquiva element of the debt that they've got.
Yeah.
Arquiva. I've got a quiver. So that debt there has to be addressed. So you can see why some people are flapping. I call it flapping right now, and rightfully so, because, and I keep saying this, you know, nobody wants uncertainty in the stocks that they hold. Nobody wants uncertainty in the markets. And all that's happened over the past, I don't know, 6 months regarding this particular firm is more and more uncertainty regarding the value of their entities, more and more uncertainty about the NAV, more uncertainty about the debt situation. And as a consequence, you know, what should have been, oh, we've sold the Verne side of it, should have been, hoorah, we've got out of jail, got out of jail, right?
Yeah.
And we move on, we settle, we put a little layer of foundation of support there, and it stays there above 45 pence, going towards 50 pence again. Everyone's settled. They get this money out for Verne, and we move on from there, and we strategically review, and we absolutely execute on every single point we can going forward. What did they do? Add another layer of uncertainty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what happens today? Everyone's looking through it and dissecting it to pieces and going, actually, I don't want to be part of this because I'm not sure what they've got here and if they've got it and if they haven't got it. So people have bailed. The beauty of it is that those that are sitting out now on the sidelines, having sold at 39, 38, 36, I think it finished at 34 pence today or thereabouts, may or may not be surprised going forward when it actually gets rejuvenated. If it doesn't, they'll be going, I am so glad I got out at those sort of prices, because you and I could be sat not even holding the baby, mate. We'll be holding the doctor's hand because we'll be the ones in surgery. You know what I mean? Because the management have failed and they now need to do something to actually regenerate, you know, almost like put the defib on the actual stock again. Otherwise, it could go lower than, it could go sub 30p, mate. And at some point, they're going to say, actually, we need to just delist and stop the embarrassment. And then it becomes a fire sale. I didn't think the Verne sale was a fire sale. They just didn't get the price that they wanted to, optimum price they wanted to, which is fair enough. But if they don't sort it out quickly, it's about what's the value of the rest of the assets and can they get a good price for it? And if they start to show they can get a good price for it, gets reevaluated by the markets. And those that I don't think it's panic sell, it's just like uncertainty sellers could come back. But it's a really difficult market out there for everybody right now, finance-wise, getting credit, refinancing, getting value for you. You're thinking, actually, you know what? My assets are worth a pound. Someone's going, oh, well, you know what? You're the seller. I'm the buyer. I'm the dictator. I'm dictating here now.
Yeah,
I'll give you 90 pence in the pound for each of those assets. I'm not giving you a premium. You know, you're not Hotel Chocolat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, I'm holding that one. I can feel my jaw hurting from the amount of blows it's taken over the past month. It's not pleasant. But as I keep saying to everybody that will listen to me, you know, if you see someone having a bad time regarding a stock, don't come in kicking. Don't come in having a pop. Don't come in having a dig. Because though for the grace of God, go I, go you. You know, former favourites. darlings of the stock market have all been hit. You know, 2 years ago, 2021 maybe, Frontier Development, £33 a share. Management failed to execute. It's down at £1.50, £1.60 now. And I remember a whole cohort of people championing that stock. Yeah. So there's going to be another darling stock 2 years from now that, now that everyone loves. And 2 years from now, it's going to be one of them. It's going to be FDEV or DGI9. So let's just be kind to each other. You know, I'm not just saying that because it's DJI, and I'm saying that regarding any stock, FDEV, just be kind to each other, because we're all going to be impacted by some management simply not executing.
Well,
anything
said.
Else we'll add on that one, Henry?
Well said. Yeah, I think for me as well, you know, I talk about diversification a lot, and I've had some people pop up in my DMs recently that hold DGI9, and some are more emotional than others, I'll put it that way, as to the prospects for the company, and there's fear and there's uncertainty and there's doubt. I don't necessarily really feel a lot of that. I mean, at worst, when the position was in my top 10, it made up about 5% of my portfolio. It's now worth about 2% of my portfolio. If it goes to zero, I'm not going to be happy. It's a decent chunk of change. But in terms of my portfolio, it's not the end of the world. It's survivable, because I don't back companies to the hilt. I've not got 15, 20, 25% weightings to individual companies. And so that means when something like this goes wrong, I can be patient. And so I just say to people that are running super concentrated books, this is the potential risk that you run when something goes wrong. You know, it can look rock solid 1 year, and the next year, oh dear. I'm not feeling too much stress over it at the moment. So consider how you've got your portfolio structured.
Absolutely. And, you know, invariably, there isn't a man, woman, or young person who has not got a stock in their portfolio or a fund in their portfolio that has had a fantastic 4 years. You know, they've had their dips, they've had their blows, some of them have come back and done well, and others have still sitting there going, ooh, you know. So, you know, think about it. Lots of people came to the market in 2019 and 2020, and lots of them are still waiting to have their portfolio in 2023 turn positive, you know. So let's just see what happens, and just be kind to each other. We talked months ago now, Henry, regarding stocks consolidating. And we talked about funds consolidating and the consolidation of those because of the difficulty in the markets. And at the time I was saying there's going to be activism in the investment trust side of things. And you touched on it earlier. We've got, I think this week, let me get the dates right. Yeah, this week, I'm with us, folks. Fidelity China Special Situations, FCSS, 1 billion market cap. Propose a combination with Aberdeen China Investment Company Limited, ACIC, with a 170 plus market cap, million market cap. Proposed combination, another one. Yeah. And again, the summary of it is basically we think if we put together, we'll create additional diversification for our shareholders. But it makes sense for us to come together. That's going on. So I'm not sure if you've seen that one. Have you seen that one, Fidelity and Aberdeen?
I've not.
And normally they're trying to get two of their funds together to consolidate, but then you've got two different entities, Fidelity and Aberdeen. So I thought that was a bit the unique thing going on. And then, you know, lo and behold, you get the second one with STS Global Income and Growth Trust, the combination with Troy Income and Growth Trust. One's 195 million. The other one, TIG, is 156. And again, let's combine. Yeah, because they're having difficulties generating revenue. Markets are difficult, and benefits of the proposal in large scale, allowing spread of fixed cost at a lower cost base, because of the competitive nature now of passive investing is that everyone's looking at costs of these funds and trusts. So let's reduce the cost by, you know, yeah.
It makes sense to me. I mean, I although there are strong benefits to passives, and I've talked about this before on the show, there are benefits to passives undeniably in that you'll get the market return for very, very low cost. But I do believe that depending on the market you're in, you know, it's also an undeniable fact. If you bought the FTSE 100, you know, 20 years ago, you've gone nowhere. You've had zero return on it. The index hasn't shifted. And it's, you know, Japan, even longer. There are indexes, passive funds, that have not performed. It's not a guaranteed certainty that equity markets will go up and to the right. Now, you could say, well, okay, that's because you're picking individual countries. What if you just buy the global all world equity market? You know, I think HSBC does one that charges 0.27%. It owns a weighted basket of every market in the world, bit of Europe, bit of the US, bit of Africa, bit of emerging markets, etc. Great, but what if the world economy doesn't carry on growing? What if stock markets get hit harder by inflation than you think? How long do you wait? 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, with your money going nowhere and very little dividend? To me, this is where a good active manager is able to outperform and add value. And a good active manager can outperform and add value. Now, just because somebody's a professional doesn't mean they're going to outperform. You know, and this is what you and I are talking about on the show. Instead of giving your money to the passives and hoping that the market just goes up and to the right, and instead of giving it to a professional that you've never met and hoping that they don't mess up your money for you, teach yourself. Learn how to pick your shares, learn how to pick where your money's going, learn how to manage it yourself. And, okay, there are challenges with that, as we've discussed. But personally, I think there's also a lot of opportunity. And the harder markets get and the longer interest rates are at this sort of 5, 6, 7% level, I think the more active opportunities there are going to be in the market. You know, if you'd bought Hotel Chocolat at £1.50, you've had 170% markup on that. That's an absolutely astounding return. I can't name a single fund that would be able to point to returns of that within a year. Now, you want to put all your money into Hotel Chocolat, but the opportunities are there. And so I can see why active funds are starting to combine. They want to bring their costs down. They want to show value. They want to get behind the best managers in the market. And so I can see that trend continuing for some time to come.
I absolutely agree with you. And that's what we're going to be trying to do a bit more so in 2014, because that's how tired I am. I wish I was back in 2014 with all I've learned since then. 2024 is to bring together between Henry, myself and Alex. We're going to dig a bit deeper as best we can to try and unearth some of the value that's in the UK FTSE and AIM markets going forward with regards to that. There's loads of bargains out there. There's some landmines as well. So we're going to try and avoid that. And I might mention this now. So one of the things we're going to do in 2024 is we're going to have, I haven't organized the sponsors yet, but I'll endeavor to get them on board. Is we're going to do the Twin Peaks Challenge 2024. We've got Henry on board now. He's going to crunch the numbers. It's going to be absolutely tickety-boo. Everything's going to be a lot smoother than we did it last time. So what we're going to do regarding the Twin Peaks Challenge 2024 is we're going to encourage all of our listeners to participate. We're going to seek out only, bear with me, folks, only UK-listed FTSE AIM stocks, funds and ETFs. Nothing from overseas, nothing from Australia, nothing from Canada, nothing from America, nothing from just UK. Yeah. Pick five of those. Okay. Reply to Henry, myself, or Alex, and just put the full name of what you've chosen of the five entities and their ticker symbols, and just add in Twin Peaks Investing Challenge, and we're going to ask you to put those names in and that portfolio of five to us by December the 31st, and hopefully once we've done it all, we'll then run it for the first month and we'll go from there, and we'll try and get prizes per month and so on and so on and so forth, and then an overall prize for December 2024. I think if we get people to focus down and actually think about the opportunities in the UK, it might just help generate some other investing ideas for other listeners when they hear some of the ones that are doing well and some of the stocks that have been chosen. So that's my thoughts regarding it. It came to me this Sunday when I was sat actually chilling after the long weekend. I was thinking, what can I do for 2024? And I thought, run the competition, but make it a bit more focused down on the bargains that we have and also the traps that we've got in the UK FTSE and AIM market. Any thoughts, Henry? Because Henry doesn't even know this. He's sitting there going, I didn't know anything about this.
Thanks for signing me up. I think that's a really good idea. Stuff, mate. I think that is a really good idea. And to our listeners, please do write in. I as a little bit of a favour, please do include the full name of the shares. I've had a couple that are in the competition for this year where the ticker doesn't register. And now sometimes this is because they've been delisted within the month or they've been taken over or whatever. But sometimes people have got the tickers wrong. And if you have a surprise month where someone from the middle of the ranking shoots up the list, I've never seen them before. I didn't even know. And all of a sudden I'm scrabbling around trying to find out what these companies are. So if you can include the full name of the company with the ticker, that would be really, really helpful. But I think a continuation of our challenge for 2024, a new version of our challenge, is an excellent idea.
Good. I'm glad you're on board. And Alex clearly doesn't know anything about it either. So we'll see what happens with that. I think the other thing as well to
say for the prizes.
I'll sort that out another time. I think the other thing to say as well is if you've got access to a particular platform, actually put your five selections into your own little mini portfolio and make it the Twin Peaks portfolio on your own platform so you can monitor what the progress is of that as well. And then if the company gets taken over in the year, then you can contact us back and say, actually, you know what? Let's pick out a stock right now. Hotel Chocolat's been taken over. I want to swap that now for this stock. Yeah. And then you change it. You contact us, you change it in your own portfolio, monitor the progress, and we'll see how things go. And just keep it going like that one for the next year. Happy with that, Henry?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool. Right. Okay. Let's do this, mate. We've been rabbiting on now for at least 20 minutes. Let's go with your first stock of the day, please, young man.
Would you like the US or a UK, Peter?
I would like you to start in the UK, given we're trying to encourage people to focus down on what's here in good old GB.
In the UK, right. So one came across my radar this week. It is a £37 million market cap company that handles intelligent transport systems in towns, cities, airports, and public transport networks that connect them.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
Now, the company is Journeo. That's ticker J-N-E-O.
I put a tweet about it, so I think probably yesterday or the day before. Yesterday, because it popped, it had an update which looked really, really good.
It was all over my feed, and I thought I've never heard of this firm before. So I've been doing a little bit of reading into it. Now, the segments that the company serves look to me to be pretty attractive. They don't look like they've got a huge amount of competitors, and it looks to me like there's fairly high barriers to entry. They're providing pretty technically complex systems. You know, connecting intelligent transport networks or connecting transport networks goes by an alternative name. It's an integrated transport solution. At least that was what they used to call it in the 1980s. And for readers or listeners that were around in the 1980s, you may have watched a program called Yes, Prime Minister.
Oh, yes.
And there's an episode of Yes, Prime Minister, where the minister gets, you know, tasked with creating an integrated transport solution. He thinks it's a great honour. And his civil servants say to him, no, this is a disaster, because you can't coordinate five completely disparate networks. They don't talk to each other. They all hate each other. They all run at different speeds. There's only a limited pool of funding, and they all want it for themselves. you know, this will be the death of your career, get shot of it. So people figured this out 40, 50 years ago, how difficult it was. So the fact that Journeo are here today trying to have another stab at it, I think that's a really interesting story. Now, the company has grown its revenues at about 12.5% since 2017. So there is clearly some demand for these products and services, despite the fact it's only got a market cap of, you know, 35, 36 million. The bit that really caught my eye, though, was the fact that earnings per share, and brace yourself for this, earnings per share have octupled from 2 pence to over 16 pence since 2020. They've gone up eightfold. I couldn't quite get my head around that. That is quite astounding for a business that seems to have been sort of bouncing along the bottom for a while and then gone bang. Now, on the bear side, there is no dividend. And listeners will know I love my dividends. I love receiving them. I love getting more of them every year. And so a company that doesn't pay a dividend doesn't necessarily float my boat. And the other thing that caught my eye was the fact that shareholders are being diluted at about 10% a year. Now, the company is issuing 10% more equity year after year, which means that unless you're putting more capital in, you own a smaller and smaller part of the company. Now, admittedly, this 10% is less than revenue growth and far less than growth in earnings per share. But if either of those slow down, that could be problematic for shareholders as the value of the business will start to decline relative to the equity that's being issued. But I thought that was a really interesting little business there, well worth doing some more research on. They've got a really interesting website, reams and reams of information. So listeners might want to go and take a look.
Yeah, I think it's a good call there, Henry. I looked at it a couple of days ago, as I said, regarding the update that they had. I'm just trying to find it now as to what it popped that day. I think it popped 6%, I think it did, that particular day. And it was well received, the update. Let me just find it now. Popped 6%. It was a really good sort of update regarding what they were doing. And it's basically said, we are ahead of expectations, which everyone loves to see first thing in the morning. You know, if you've got a company that comes out and says that, then you're on your way. So that was yesterday that particular RNS came out. So I think good call. I think given what we've got going ahead, where, you know, everyone's trying to make, we keep talking about efficiencies, don't we? It's another company that's going to be on that efficiency sort of bent, and everyone's looking to reduce costs, make things more efficient. And it's another sort of company that could do quite well in that sort of environment. The only thing I've not looked at it fully, Henry, is the, has it got any sort of AI? Is it one of them that's going to be throwing AI into their conversations yet?
I could almost guarantee it. No, I could almost guarantee it will have an element of AI. The interesting, and I think I might have to do a segment on this for listeners in the future, but the interesting thing about AI, the most commonly recognized form of it at the moment is the text AI. So ChatGPT, Google Bard, that sort of thing. But there are lots of other types in development. So
absolutely.
One that readers or listeners might have heard of is the graphic design AI. So you provide a set of style guides and it can artificially generate images. But you've also got AI that can control systems. So a really basic form of it is in a video game. If you play against the computer, that's a form of AI. It's making moves and responding to external stimuli. I suspect Journeo have probably got a version similar to that. External stimuli comes in, you know, the number of cars on the road, the number of train tickets that have been booked, the number of flights that are expected, cargo capacity needed, that sort of thing. And it probably then allocates resources based on those constraints and times of day and repair work that's going on and all of that sort of stuff. So I suspect they probably do have an AI component, yes.
Cool. Yeah, well, then they're going to get some traction going forward. 2024 could be their year, mate. So, good call on that. What sort of market cap is it, Henry? Did you say that?
37 million. So it's not
So it's
big
not
at
too
all.
big. It'll get more attention when it gets to 50 million as well. So you get to that level, and then it starts to push on again. Institutions want to get interested when it gets above 50 or more. So yeah, good shout. Yeah, good call, mate. Well done. Right, I'm going to mention a small company as well, and this is Prio Medical, ticker symbol CREO, market cap of 116 million at the moment. Shares are 32 pence, 32.25 pence per share, down 13% over the past 12 months. Price range of 18, low in February 2024 this year, sorry, 2023. Gosh, I'm having a right meltdown here. So overtired, and 40 pence. So you can see it's at the middle range to towards the top. Essentially, what I like about this company is that it's an innovative UK-based medical technology company, and it's involved in the endoscopy side of things. And they recently received FDA approval for one of their devices, but it seems to be getting a lot of traction regarding everything. And for me, what's going on with them is that the revenue is slowly scaling. And for me, what's important now is that we're trying to do a lot of technology regarding operations, Henry, aren't we? Gone are the days where the man just puts his gloves, man or the woman, puts the surgeon puts the gloves on and starts cutting things up. Now they're using robotics. Yeah?
Very
Using
true,
robotics
yeah.
a lot of the
We're
time.
a bit past the
And
leeches.
yeah, absolutely. So they're using technology, folks, to help us with operations that are going forward. And for me, I think the important thing here is looking at what sort of relationships they've got with global healthcare professionals, who's using their technology. They've got this ultra slim speedboat, yeah, that goes in, does what it needs to do. And I'm thinking, wow. So you can watch what's going on. You can go in there, you can operate remotely. So global sales, it's a little tiddler. It's only 116 million. And I'm thinking, you look at the companies that
Could have
they're
some
engaged
potential.
with. Say again, sorry.
It could have some potential. I think for me,
Absolutely.
I've just pulled it up, and it's loss making. And
Yeah,
I
it
have
is.
a massive fear of loss making companies. I really struggle to value them, to be honest with you. You value them on book because they've got some IP, presumably, and you value them on revenue growth because after you scale to a certain point, presumably it becomes profitable. But Cathie Wood sort of played this trend with ARK Invest and backed a load of loss-making startup type biosciences. She had a fund called, I think she still has a fund, called the Genomics Revolution Fund. They've backed all sorts of interesting medical innovation companies. One of which hit the headlines recently, Twist Biosciences. It's all about gene editing. They've got some sort of gene editing microchip, I believe, that supposedly does genetics at half the price and twice as fast as current techniques. The shares went all the way up to $200 at peak in 2021, and they've dropped 90% since then. And the company is still loss making, the revenue's still growing, but the more the revenue grows, the bigger the losses get. And I feel a little bit like Creo. I don't know. How do you distinguish one from the other? They both sound amazing.
What I tend to do, and I don't mind buying, and I have done, and I've done quite successful at been successful with loss-making companies and companies that are completely off the radar in the past. You have to look at what their relationships are with the much larger behemoths that are in that space. And if a couple of those behemoths come along and go, actually, we want to work with that smaller entity, and invariably, a lot of the times they're looking at the IP, looking at the tech, and they're gonna, buy them out, or I don't want to say steal the paintings, but they want to utilize them to just not do the some of the dirty work that they don't want to do sometimes, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
But one of the relationships that they've got is with Intuitive, which is the world's largest robotic surgery company, which is profitable. Yeah, it's an absolute behemoth. I forgot to put down what size it is, but you can put it on your phone now and look up Intuitive. And it's a multi-billion pound entity in the US. And they've got essentially a relationship with them. So it's basically saying here, another critical development in Creo's growing collaboration with robotic surgery companies, notably with Intuitive, the world's largest robotic surgery company. Yeah. And I'm like, uh-oh, time to have a look at these guys. You know, they're building these relationships. The revenue is slowly growing. It's not quite there yet. It's still loss-making, as you've said.
These guys make the Da Vinci machines.
Say again, sorry?
They make the Da Vinci machines. Intuitive.
Yes, Henry, they do.
They do, Henry. Okay, that changes the story
now,
a little bit.
Now I've got your interest. Oh, there we go. Henry smiling, folks. Get yourself over onto YouTube. Henry smiling. He's wetting he's touching his brow, and his little tash is still growing. He's looking at it and thinking, oh, now I'm interested. So essentially, and Raj asked me this question, how do you find these stocks, Pete? What makes you go to these stocks and that stock? You know, I'm always analyzing. I'm always researching stocks. I'm always looking for some stuff that other people aren't looking at. I get it wrong a lot of the time, folks, right? But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to incrementally start with a smallest position on a stock that I'm uncertain about. And as they get more news, contract wins, or they show a little bit of momentum, I add to it. So whether it's a 0.5% position that becomes a 1% position, or a 1% position that becomes a 2% or a 2.5% position, other times I go, you know what, sod it, lump, and I'll just bash it on the head. And I do that occasionally because I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to phase in. I'm just going to go in. And I do that occasionally. But I've not bought this stock yet, and I'm watching it and seeing what happens with it. They had an oversubscribed fundraise for 33.7 million, Henry, in March of this year. At 20 pence, yeah? And currently they're sitting at 32. So if you bought it in March at 20 pence, and you know that fundraising they had, I think it was 1 for 7, I think, or something like that, you're already up on the 1 to 7 that you got at 20 pence. Yeah, it's at 32.
I'm with you.
It's loss-making. It could just go like that at some point. But robotics, health,
it's a space spot.
It's a sweet spot, and they've got Intuitive on site already, amongst others. So that's what intrigues me. And right now, having raised and they've got cash at June of 26.5 million, market cap of 116. You know, you go away and work out what the cash burn is and see how long that 26 million should last them if things stay as they are. And if that's 2 years, that's 2 years whilst things are really rocky in the market, possibly, hopefully not. That they will not need to come to the market to raise cash. Yeah, because they raised it in March, did okay in raising in March, and are going forward with revenue. We'll see what happens. But that's my first one. Health tech, med tech. I'm always going to be interested in that sort of angle. Speedboat.
That is a really, 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 really interesting, name. Definitely one to go and have a look at. And the fact it's got Intuitive. I mean, for those listeners that don't know, Da Vinci machines cost a fortune. They are extremely advanced robotics, medical machines. I was talking to my father-in-law about them. I think Southampton Hospital, Poole Hospital, had a donation for one. It's worth millions, and it is genuinely, genuinely a life-saving piece of kit.
Top of the range, life-saving bit of kit. Yeah, way ahead of its time. Yeah, okie dokie. That's me done on Creo. I don't own it, as per usual. Just sharing some information with you guys, ladies and gents. Go for it, Henry. What have you got next, mate?
Well, my second one is again from the UK. Intertek. Ticker is ITRK. Which is a £6 billion assurance, testing, inspection, and certification company. The company's been around for more than 130 years, and they help to ensure the quality and safety of clients' products, processes, and systems. They operate through a global network of facilities and provide effectively quality assurance services to customers in materials sourcing, research and development, component supply, manufacturing, retail. Anything where you've got a repeatable process, Intertek will come in and help you to ensure that it is reliable, robust, and repeatable effectively. And at £6 billion market cap, it's a big beast, this one, being around a long time. It pays a 2.5% dividend, which is covered 1.5 times. It's got a 19% return on capital employed. But unlike some smaller companies, it's not growing at a tremendously fast rate. It's only got a compound annual growth rate in earnings per share of about 1.5% since 2017. So it's big, it's there, but you've all heard the saying, elephants don't gallop. Now, the reason I'm a big, well, I say I'm a big fan, the reason this caught my eye was actually what the share price has done recently. So if you look at it over a 1 year period, it's been as high as £45 a share, and it's now down to less than 40. This is quite a high quality business, big FTSE 100 beast here. And one of the things I like to do when I invest, I've sort of got a predilection towards overweighting in the large mega caps that are have a good cash balance, they're stable, they're old, they've got big revenues, they can survive big knocks. They're not going to go bankrupt tomorrow. It's not a perfect guarantee of returns, but they tend to be quite safe and secure. And to me, Intertek, at its current price of it's about £39 a share, £40 a share as we record this, looks to me like a little bit of quality at a reasonably good price. So I don't think it's one that's going to blow the lights out. But again, looking at international markets, I could see a foreign firm coming and making a sneaky purchase of this.
Don't say that, Henry. It was all going so well.
I would hate to see it disappear. But again, it's one of these firms that people aren't talking about. People aren't talking about it. They don't own it. They're not interested in it. I'm not seeing it tipped anywhere. And sometimes that's where the corporate raiders are looking.
That's exactly where they're looking. It's not, like you say, it's not one of those razzmatazz stocks that everyone's talking about. You know, everyone's on the tip of the tongue of everybody. It just gets on doing what it does. You know,
exactly.
It's been steadfast in their approach. They stick to what they're doing and they just carry on. I don't want to be disrespectful to them. It just plods along, just does what it does, generates money, keeps itself out of the press, and just executes. You know, heaven forbid we had some, you know, more companies that just executed, you know, on the strategy and generated profit and revenue for people, rather than, oh, we're downsizing. Oh, there you go. You're 2 years out of the cycle and already you're having to, you know, get rid of 2,000 staff, 3,000 staff in a heartbeat. Yeah. You know, it just shows a lack of planning and organization and being ready and being strategic. The whole point of being paid these big sums as a CEO and a CFO, is to strategize and plan and look ahead. Yeah. But no, we'll just, you know what, we'll just downsize. We'll just get rid of that. We'll sell that. We've done that. Oh, so yeah, Intertek. Yeah, it's one of them that I've liked for a long time. I don't want to say what you often say, Henry. It's one of them that I'm always thinking, when it's cheaper, I'll buy it. When it's cheaper, I'll buy it. And I don't know how, I've never bought the share. And it's probably been on my radar plus 5 years. And, you know, and what's happened with that share since then? Just gone. Like that. Up and up and up and higher. You know, from the left-hand side, bottom left to top right, share's just gone. See you, Pete. You should have bought me 3 years ago or 4 years ago or when you first looked at me. But alas, you know, one day something will give me the courage to buy it. We'll see. But yeah, good call, Henry, with that one. I think that's one of those stocks that at some point or other they're going to do something that makes people sit up and go, uh-oh. Yeah, we need to start buying that share, hopefully within the UK. Yeah, rather than somebody comes. Well, let's just hope nobody comes and buy them anyway.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to talk now, Henry, about a stock that only listed last year, right? And the shares that have, or the stocks, funds, shares, you name it, entities that have listed 2021, 2022 have not fared well. Vast majority of them. Everybody that bought anything that IPO'd in 2021 and 22 are wishing they didn't at IPO. This one has fared a bit better, although the shares are still a bit lower than where they're listed. And I'm talking about another little tiddler here, folks. And this is a cyber security company, per se. And the reason why I'm talking about this one, it's an AI-enhanced cybersecurity company. You notice that I'm always going towards the tech and the AI sort of stuff, Henry, here. So this was admitted on AIM on December the 15th, 2022, raising £3.7 million via a placing of ordinary shares at 29.66 pence, and giving it a market cap of 36.8 million on admission on the 15th of December of last year. So the next podcast, or just after the next podcast, they should be updating the markets and their 1 year anniversary of being on the market as to how they're doing. Market cap currently versus the 36.8 million market cap they arrived with on 15th of December of last year is currently 31 million. So a little bit down, you know. So we're down 15%-ish or thereabouts from its IPO in a year. You're thinking, well, actually, sounds like another dud to me. I can hear you going, hasn't done so well really, Pete, has it? Right? So £31 million. Price now is 25 pence per share. A PE of 18 because it's an AI/tech cybersecurity company. So it's there. I've not told you the name yet. You not worked it out yet, Henry, now? Smart Tech 247 or 247 Group. Ticker symbol S247. You're smiling. Why are you smiling?
Who on earth is that?
have you heard of it? No?
I've never heard of them. They IPO'd
Listen. It's a listed entity, mate. It's a global cybersecurity company.
You've market cap battleship. It's usually the other way around with you going, who's that? I'm baffled. Come on.
All right, you're going to let me carry on, yeah? So we're there. £31 million, price range of 24 pence to 38 pence. Obviously, the 38 was from, you know, it probably popped a little bit from the 29 pence placing last year. 24 low and currently sitting at 25, so it's right at the very bottom of its range. It's very liquid. There's not a lot of volume there. Need some news, need some catalyst. But again, I'm looking at some of the relationships that they've got and the contracts they've got with the government and contract with that behemoth. They've got relationships with IBM. They've got relationships with Microsoft. They've got a contract with Splunk, right? A 26 billion market cap company. And I'm going, how does a tiddler like that just get these little tiny contracts? And obviously, look at the contract and thinking, actually, what's the size of it? And they are very minuscule contracts, in fairness, because its market cap is only sort of small. Had a contract renewal with AutoNation, one of the either the first or second largest car retailers in the US. So they've got all that going on, and it's a global entity. So I'm thinking, I don't own it. Once again, folks, it's a research idea, but they keep winning contracts with pharma companies, tech companies, and so on and so on and so forth. So that's another one for me that could be very, very interesting. All it will take, or one of the things that could be a catalyst, let me rephrase. One of the catalysts could be they get a substantial contract from somebody, not just a half a million, £2 million contract, but a substantial contract in 2024. And this share price could re-rate quite rapidly. Or somebody will think, you know what? Nah, I'm not going to wait for them. We're just going to, you know, I said to Henry, don't talk about being taken over, but it's tiny. The cybersecurity company with 31 million market cap. So I hope they don't. I've got my eye on it. I'm waiting for the first contract to be announced. That's good. The market goes, wow. And I will be on it. Now my daughter says, on it like a car bonnet. Yeah. I'll be buying that particular share. So for me, that is ticker symbol S247247, AI enhanced cybersecurity company dealing with enterprises, Fortune 150 companies, and so on and so forth. Got a lot of really good relationships there. So that's my second sort of stock to talk about regarding the markets. And again, another little tiddler. Anything I'm there, Henry? You're smiling. You're dismayed. What? Because you didn't know about it.
I'm absolutely baffled. I've never heard of that company in my life.
In fairness, it's been around less than a year. We can't know every single stock, Henry.
Well, I mean, you've thrown me a curveball there, that's for sure. I've cheated a little bit. I've pulled up some numbers.
What do you like and dislike about it?
It looks very expensive. It's on a PE of 73 or something.
18 is the PE.
18? I'm getting 73.
Will you use a PPE?
Hang on a minute. Looking at 12 trailing months, that's why. Okay. That's why, because it's got no... Oh, dear. Yeah, this to me is another one that if I knew more about cybersecurity, I might be able to assess the quality of the technology. Very, very difficult to do that as a non-IT person. I hold Darktrace, for example, and one of the ways I try to assess that is by looking at industry reviews of the technology. You know, are people using it? And if so, what do they think of it? And the technology falls into two camps. You've got some people that say we absolutely love it, and you've got other people that say it's absolutely rubbish. Darktrace technology, total waste of time and money, costs a fortune, basically just a fancy UI, and it doesn't do what we want it to do, and they're charging us through the nose. I'm sat there thinking, well, look, it's one or the other. It may be a bit of column A, maybe a bit of column B, but I'm not confident enough to really know to back it to the hilt. This, even more so, such a tiny business. You know, it's described as managed detection and response. Oh, what on earth is managed detection and response? That's not an acronym I've even come across before. And so to me, to back that, I want to go and talk to some people in cybersecurity in my IT department. And I'd want to go, look, you know, what's this? Have a look at the website.
Absolutely. And the beauty of it is that they've been around for a little while prior, obviously, to listing. But they've won quite a few different awards for various elements of what they do as well.
Usually a good
sign. Even protecting of emails and so on and so forth. So they're quite proactive with regards to what they do. And they've got some good relationships. They're not at the size of Darktrace, but it's another one of our, you know, UK listed entities that's trying its best to get out there and do something to protect us from all the frauds and scams and malware and all the rest of it that's going on there, you know, all over the place. So yeah, just another one I thought I'd share with you guys, ladies and gents, with it all. And again, they've got some quite good contracts with some large entities. Again, you know, why would AutoNation choose them when they could choose other people? It's beyond me, you know. So that, as I say always, how do I find these stocks? How do I look at that? I'm looking at all the data that's coming out, and I'm looking and thinking, why would AutoNation choose them? Why do they have a contract with the government? And those are the things that you don't see when you're just looking at an RNS, because sometimes some of the contracts and the information that they've got is buried on their website already from previous, and they just get renewed and just get renewed. And then they get their new one and it's a large contract. You go, ooh. So sometimes you've got to do a lot of digging beyond what the RNSs are telling you to find the stock before everyone else does. Because if everyone else finds it, the stock's already flying, you know? So that's why I try and do my independent research all the time, Henry.
That's a really good point.
But yeah, it's only been around a year. Don't feel broken that you didn't know it. 95% of the stock that you've shared with me so far, I didn't have a Scooby-Doo where they are, who they were.
I was going to say, that'll teach me for talking about Nebraska.
No, fair enough, mate. Right, I'm going to take a break now and just bring people up to speed with the Memphis Charity Fundraise. We've had two of our individual listeners to make some donations. We're currently sitting at 2,800 plus gift aid. And one individual has just left the symbols S.B. So thank you ever so much, SB. And comments was a small donation, which I hope helps meet your target. Thanks to all of you for your time and effort in producing such an interesting and informative podcast. Thank you very much. We appreciate that feedback and your donation of £20 and £5 gift aid. Thank you ever so much.
Thank you.
And I'm sure this, I know it's a chap because I've spoken to him via DMs before, has made a couple of donations already. I know he's already also helped you out in the Movember thing as well, Henry. Scrumpy Triple Two, thank you ever so much. You're an absolute legend. You keep donating to us every year and almost every time you come out and help us out. So I really appreciate that. I'm going to give a shout out to you here, Scrumpy Triple Two. And if you wish, at some point in 2024, we shall get you on this podcast, young man, and you can share your investing journey with us. If you're up for it, we'll get you on the show. You can join me, Henry, and Alex on the show. Scrumpy Triple Two's comments were, slowly catching up with the recent podcast, 113 was a great listen. Loads of interesting and important topics, whether shares or Movember. Keep up the good work. And Scrumpy donated £50 plus £12.50 gift aid. So thank you ever so much, Scrumpy, and thank you, SB.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPEETS. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to ShearPad today using the TWINPEETS promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit shareScope.co.uk/sharepad for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
We'd love for you guys and ladies who've enjoyed the podcast year to date that haven't donated yet to make a donation, please. Get us over that 3,000 barrier before the year is out. It is going to be going to a fantastic cause regarding Memphis and disabled children and all the services and supports that they require. All you've got to do is go to the Just Giving page, which is www.justgiving.com/fundraising/TwinPeaksChallenge23 and make your donations there. I'll be putting out a link with this podcast as well on various different pages. So thank you ever so much for that. Henry, what else you got for me, mate? What else you got? What do you want to share?
Well, I've got another share for you.
Go for it.
So you will almost certainly have heard of this one. Founded in 1982, this is a £34 billion US company that specializes in 3D design, engineering, and entertainment technology solutions across the architecture, engineering, construction, product design and manufacturing, media, and entertainment industries. It is, of course, Autodesk. The ticker is ADSK. Oh, yeah. Now, I came across Autodesk during my days working in the construction industry, and it is the industry standard for 3D design. If you ever have a building that goes through pre-design and you look at it on a screen and you're trying to figure out where the floor plate should go and the tolerances for things, chances are it's done in Autodesk. Now, the company has got some pretty fantastic metrics, as you might expect for a US tech company. It's got a 20% return on capital and a 76% return on equity. It's got 20% profit margins, which have grown by 10% since 2020. So they're, you know, improving their profit margins, which is nice to see. Now, he does have net debt on the books of about $330 million. But considering their net profit last year was $900 million, that seems pretty manageable to me. And the company's available at just $207 a share on a PE of 44 times. So it's a little bit pricey, but to me, this looks like a really high quality, very, very core part of the 3D design industry that is at quite an attractive price. I did somewhere have the chart up a second ago and I've gone and closed it. Bear with me. Yeah, here we are. So, oh, actually, it's gone up slightly now. It's just popped 4%. We're up to $215 a share.
That's a good sign.
Now, 3 years ago, it was at over 300. So it's come off the boil slightly, and is recovering. And that was partly due to COVID and partly due to fears over economic outlook. But in terms of revenue and profits, it's been a one-way graph up and to the right. So I think this is a really attractive share for anybody that's interested in technology type businesses and wants to look a little bit further than the typical Microsoft, Adobe, Facebook sort of crowd.
Yeah, the Magnificent Seven, as they're calling them at the moment. Henry, with regards to Autodesk, how have they done this year? And, as a compounder, because it's one of those companies that, as you say, it's been at the top of the tree regarding that for such a long time.
They're
I mean, I'm
showing,
not sure
yeah,
what the
they're
nearest who the
showing.
nearest competitor is, but the nearest competitor is some size smaller, much, much, much smaller.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to 2020, their revenues were about 3.2 billion. Last year, they were 4.3 billion. This year, 2023, they've reported 5 billion. So they are growing strongly. On 12, on a 12 trailing month basis, they're at 5.3 billion. And they're forecast to continue growing to 5.4 and then 5.9 billion through 2025. So very, very strong growth outlook. They've got good momentum in their earnings per share and their revenue, and that looks like it's going to carry on for the foreseeable future. And I think part of the reason for that is it's the breadth of services and industries that they serve. So it's not just new buildings, it's renovations, it's repairs, it's architecture work, it's early stage sites, it's tall buildings, it's underground, it's infrastructure, but it's also 3D modeling. So the media and entertainment side, they do 3D design for things like CGI backdrops and things, video gaming applications, you can apply it into that. This has got a very broad range of applications. And so, although it will move with the economic cycle, it's not as though everybody's going to stop using it tomorrow if we hit a recession.
Yeah, like that a lot. Again, it's one of those sort of companies that I would like, definitely, definitely like to have in my portfolio at some point.
For me, the question around it is the it doesn't pay a dividend, which again puts me off a little bit. I do like to have a dividend from my companies. And for me, the problem when you don't have the dividend, you are reliant completely on capital gains. And you can have long periods of time where the economic value of the company and the share price are totally dislocated. And that can
Absolutely.
go on for a very long period of time. And without the dividend, what are you being paid to hold, really? Do you wait 3 years, 5 years?
You're being paid for growth, Henry. I mean, that's why the tech stocks and S&P 500 and NASDAQ has outperformed any indices that we've had
That's
in the
true.
UK for the past 10 years. Because, if they're growing and they're absolutely multiplying their revenues, as you said, with Autodesk being an example of that, you will get rewarded without the dividends. We've had people buying stocks and funds and investment trusts for the huge dividends that they've got. And the increased dividends that they've got of late, and they've been spanked. And I'm
That
one of
is
those
true.
people. You're looking for a 5% dividend yield, you're looking for a 6% dividend yield, you're looking for this and that and the other. The share price is down 30%. What have you gained from holding that stock for the last 24 months or 12 months? A deficit, a loss of 25% or 23%, whatever you want to call it. You know, we talk about, oh, you know what? It's all about the total returns. The total returns is a loss of 25%, my mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking, and I like to have dividends in my portfolio. I've got AstraZeneca forever, and that's compounding at a really nice dividend yield from the original prices that I purchased at happy days. I picked some other stocks that pay a dividend, but I'm not going to be at the mercy of just buying something for the yield because for the dividends and the yield, because if it doesn't perform, I'm left with the Apple core and not the Apple. Yeah,
that is very true.
And I don't want rotting Apple cores in my portfolio. Do you get where I'm coming from?
I do, absolutely.
You know, so choose the dividend payers carefully, people. Very, very carefully. And I'm not just picking on investment trusts here. I'm picking on any company that's got a chunky dividend or a good dividend, because if they're not performing for you this year, have a look at what's going on. Have a look at how much the dividend is covered. Because you know what? We've had some companies this year already that were paying a nice dividend and they've come out and gone, I'm really, really sorry. We've failed and we're cutting the dividend. And what happens with that share price, Henry? It gets absolutely spanked.
Very true. Very true.
So, yeah. And I'm the one that, I'm hoping people are not offended. I've been spanked quite a few times this year regarding profit warnings and stocks going, we failed you. You know, it's all about management. It's all about leadership. It's all about strategy. All about execution. You know, I've got to say this before we forget to say it. Last night, some horrible news, devastating news for all investors. One of the sage of all investors that we've been blessed to have over the past 100 years, nearly, Charlie Munger passed. We've all been educated. We've all been informed. We've all learned from, you know, Warren Buffett's partner, Charlie Munger, and sadly he passed last night. So just, you know, thoughts and prayers to his family, his colleagues, and everybody that he's been blessed to actually meet regarding that passing. So just wanted to just put that out there. I know you put out a really, really lovely tweet as well, Henry, about how you benefited from Charlie Munger as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people talk about Warren Buffett a lot. Charlie Munger was an absolute intellectual giant. Before he ever even got into investing, he was a lawyer, and a very good lawyer. Mm-hmm. A friend once said to Warren Buffett, I'll give you some money because you remind me of Charlie Munger. And Warren Buffett said, who the heck's Charlie Munger? I've never heard of him. And it was 2 years later that they met, and they got on like a house on fire. And Warren Buffett has always credited his approach with being massively enhanced by Charlie. He was truly a man of towering intellect, brutal honesty, wasn't unkind at all. He was generous. He was thoughtful. Read what he has written and watch interviews with him. You will not waste or regret a single second of it. And I couldn't say any more. You know, what a towering giant of a man he was. And we are lucky to have had him for 99 years. So my thoughts go out to his family, to be honest, to his family, to his friends, and to everyone that knew him.
Absolutely agree. I'm pulling up this quote that I think was it's about 100 quotes. You can quote it every time he speaks, there could be a quote come out from what he said. And there's this one that resonates with me because it's about learning. And the fact he was saying that often people look at myself and Warren and it looks like it's just a stack of books with legs on it because they're constantly reading. And this one reads as follows. I constantly see people rise in life who are not the smartest or the most diligent, but they are learning machines. They go to bed every night a little wiser than they were when they got up. And that's what we should all be aspiring to be a little bit wiser, a bit more learned from when we woke up this morning. So that's one of, he's got thousands of quotes out there. Right, so rest in peace, Charlie Munger, and the impact that's going to have on Warren Buffett. Hopefully, you know, he's in good shape, and it doesn't hit him too hard. Right, okie dokie. I've got to talk about this very, very quickly, and it is a Black Friday offer from ShareScope SharePad, and it's running until Friday the 1st at midnight. Very importantly, this is for SharePad only this year and SharePad Pro. So what they're offering is a monthly offer, which is 66% off the first 3 months, also known for 3 months for the price of one, essentially, an annual offer of 14 months for the price of 12. And the product offer, as I said, is SharePad Share Pro, available to new subscribers or returning subscribers who haven't subscribed for the last 2 years. And there's a 30-day money-back guarantee for the monthly and annual subscription for subscribers. So essentially, what you've got is the offer, let's read this out, entitles the new and returning subscribers who haven't subscribed to the first 3 months for the price of one and 14 for 12 months. And essentially, what you've got to do is go onto the website, utilize a unique promo code of TPBF, all lowercase, 23. So that's TPBF23. And you can get that special offer up until Friday, midnight. Get that offer in. Okay, so utilize that offer before you utilize the other offer that you get on the adverts above, and see how you get on. Right, Henry, I've got one little thing I'm going to share here now. I've had this wonderful, wonderful interview that I've done on the other podcast, Investing Matters One, with Iona Bain. She is the BBC Morning Live personal finance expert, wizard, you name it. She's been the voice of the millennial youth regarding personal finance for over 10 years now, multiple award winning, written two books, on the TV almost every other day now, young money blogger. And she's an absolute sensation regarding what she's been talking about. And essentially, for me, her talking about pensions, investing, crypto, you know, you name it, and personal finance, mortgages, LISAs, ISAs, et cetera, et cetera. And fantastic interview. So if you haven't listened to it yet, please, please, please go and have a listen to that and give me your feedback regarding that. And I wanted to say as well, going back to our stuff, there's a chap called, I think you got it as well, Henry. Was it Rudy that sent us some feedback, yes, regarding the podcast? A really, really nice feedback we got. I need to find this now. Crikey. Let you fill in and share what you want to share, Henry. One sec. I'm going to find this from Rudy. Because it really,
well, I was,
you
know, going
to
say,
need to have this.
Yeah, I was just going to say thank you to everybody that's written in. In particular, in addition to Rudy, I've also had a really nice message from Sanjay Kariya, who wrote to me today to say that he really enjoys the podcast. He's been a long-time listener. And he's also very kindly donated £50 towards my Movember effort, which really, really touched me. Very, very generous of you. Thank you to everybody that has donated to that. Scrumpy Triple Two did as well. It honestly means a lot to me. It's a really worthy cause. So thank you very much to everybody that's chipped in.
With regards to the Movember fundraise, when does it finish? Where can they find it?
Well, technically, it finishes tomorrow. So if you haven't donated, I'm not sure you'll still be able to when this podcast goes out. But if you go to... let me just get the URL so I give you the right one. It is uk.movember.com. That's Movember with an M. And you'll see a search feature, search for a page. If you put my name in, Henry Viola Eyre, that's Viola hyphen Heir, you'll find the page. And if you'd like to donate, I'll leave the page open. And so hopefully, if anybody would like to donate, that will still come through. It goes to a wonderful cause supporting men's health. So thank you very, very much for all your support.
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you, Henry. And are you going to keep the task beyond Movember?
Well,
Because there's
Verity's
lots of
become
people, male and female, were very interested in that Tash when we went to a certain place. Yeah, last week.
that sounds a bit dubious. Verity is a fan.
I didn't mean it like that. No, I didn't mean it like that. Not a it wasn't a YMCA moment, folks. Come on.
My wife, Verity, has confessed to becoming slightly attached. She said she's enjoyed watching it grow.
Okay.
Not so much that she wants it to stay after the end of November. So I think the next recording we do, I shall be back to you clean shaven.
Okie dokie. Okie dokie. All right. Okie dokie. Well, I'll be sorting something out tonight for the Movember. I'll be putting something in there for you, mate. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Right. So, yeah. So going back to Rudy. At Rudy65UK. And his lovely comment, thank you, Rudy, was great show again, guys. I really enjoy the format and the prompts on new ideas. Appreciate the time you three give up to record and research your ideas. Keep it going. Thumbs up. We've had a few feedback like that, and we'll read some more out as we go along. But that's what makes it worthwhile for us. It does take a lot of time. It's been a lot of hard work on Henry's part finding these stocks that no one knows about, under research, under the radar, which is what, you know, might as well call Henry's segment the under the radar segment going forward. And equally with Alex, because he puts a lot of detail into it as Henry does. And he's a professional. You know, there's two of us are just, you know, we're just retail, you know, punters, really. He's a professional, but we try and make it so we have a three-tier approach regarding our research. We never tell each other what we've brought to the table. It's live, it's unscripted. That's why you got me stumbling over my words half the time, because English is my second language as such. And we'll just keep making it live, keeping it real, you know, and most importantly for all of you guys and ladies that enjoy it, we'll keep it free. And we'll go again. We'll try and get maybe one more in before the new year, if not two, depending on what we can sort out. And then we'll be in 2024. We'll be announcing, probably in the first podcast in 2024, the winner of the overall competition and all the prizes that that he or she has won, but also who's come top one, two, or three, and who's won the December prize. So that should be very interesting regarding the first podcast of the year. We're going to have a few more guests in 2024 as well. And we're going to try and keep it active. Some suggestions have been made regarding different things we can add to the format, and we'll investigate some of those as well. But Henry, myself, and Alex look forward to keeping you guys and ladies informed and delivering you research ideas. Henry, what do you want to close with, mate?
Just thank you to everybody for tuning in. And also, whilst I've got you on the line, thank you to Peter. Thank you to you, because I know you've had a very, very busy day. For the audience members that don't know, Peter has been run off his feet today, still sat down to record this podcast. So if you get 5 minutes, please just say a little thank you, because he puts in a lot of work to make these happen. I just turn up with a mustache and look good, but
you do Peter far more than that. Well, that's very kind of you, mate. Thank you.
You bring the brain power. So yes, I'm looking forward to having Alex back next week as well. So if you're listening, Alex, I hope you're enjoying your break.
Yeah, we're missing you, mate. We're missing you. All right, Henry. Thank you ever so much for that. Everybody, thank you all for listening to Twin Peaks Investing Podcast 115. We will look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks' time. Take care. Show kindness. Support each other. When you listen to this, please, please, please just hit a like on YouTube and retweet it when you've listened to it, and give us your feedback. We can only improve this with your feedback and lessons learned. And we'll always look to improve it going forward and tweak it as best we possibly can. Until then, take care and God bless you all.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScope. the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.